Pat Steinberg along with you, and this gentleman was there for the final day of exhibition action in Edmonton. Ryan Leslie from Sportsnet joins us. He'll be at Rogers Place in Edmonton throughout the postseason as it continues. Hi, Rye. How are you?
Gentlemen, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Welcome back. Tell me about being in Edmonton yesterday for a pair of exhibition games.
Yeah, it was kind of neat to see the whole setup, get your eyes on it. I got a couple of great traveling companions with me and my two daughters. So we did a little first-time-ever work trip. Dad, bring your daughter to the Hub City work trip. And it was good, you know, like just to see the setup the NHL has put forth. It's I was talking about baseball there a few minutes ago and just what a mess that is. But so far, so good on the NHL side. The way they're running it is very tight, and it's a little bit different from our end, that's for sure. Everything's different, as we know, but we're way up, and the players are down below, locked in their bubble, and it is neat to see in person, I'll tell you that. And I don't mean to make light of that, because I know everybody wants to be in a rink right now, but to hear the banter, to hear the officials, to hear the sounds of the game, it is somewhat unique. I know it doesn't always translate the same on television with a little bit of crowd sound, but it's fascinating. It's bizarre. Hopefully it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And we're just kind of getting ready for, as you say, Saturday when it all kicks off, lots of games. And we're kind of on a neat rotation between Gene and Dan Murphy and myself, where we're all just kind of cranking out different games each day, and then we kind of do some reporting and some hosting, so it's a little bit of variety up in Edmonton.
Tell us a little bit more about, you know, what it's actually like being in a rink with no fans watching the highest level hockey. Like, how eerie or strange is it?
It is eerie. That's a good word. And it's chilly in there, as you've probably seen on social media. It is brisk, but there's no bodies in there, kind of keeping it warmer. But, you know, It's still the game, which is great. I don't know. I'm talking to some of the players over the last couple of days. So far, they're enjoying bubble life, especially the younger ones, right? Like, they don't have the families at home and all those responsibilities. But as far as we're concerned, you know, you're going into the rink. It's, you know, you got to go through the temperature checks and everything else, and then you kind of get situated. I have a studio in Rogers Place, and then you kind of go down to do whatever hits you'll have to do or open up the show from the fifth floor. And then you go back up to the seventh where my studio and equipment is. And basically yesterday I was doing the World Feed games, those two games. So not many folks in these parts would have seen those games, but back in Arizona and Vegas and Dallas and Nashville, they would have, but just a microphone and some monitors, and we're connected to the guys downstairs, and arrival interviews and walk-off interviews are really all we're getting at that point. And then for the Canadian games, you'll start to see more stories dropped in. You'll start to see more presence from hosts, et cetera. So that'll be a little bit more realistic, or at least be what we're accustomed to.
Right.
But those World Feed games are pretty, you know, pretty cut and dry from a host standpoint.
So tell me about, just because I know the NHL has talked about these first 3 days, the exhibition games, kind of a trial run, and they're going to be pretty dialed back in terms of what they're offering. But, you know, we've heard that things are going to get a little more ramped up in terms of production, in terms of what to expect on the telecast, all that type of stuff, once the actual games start to matter come tomorrow. What should we be expecting? What type of things do they have up their sleeves? Do you know?
That's a great question. I do not know. I will be watching either in the rink tomorrow or I'll be watching on television just like everybody else. I don't know all the bells and whistles. I know they've got some uniqueness lined up, but I honestly couldn't tell you. It's I don't know if it's classified or it just doesn't make its way this far down to me, but we'll see what it looks like. And there's challenges, and I think they've been able to iron through some of them, as you can imagine, all kinds of logistical and technical. And then you just don't have, Patty, you just don't have the same bodies and resources and all those valuable folks who are, you know, everyday faces inside the rink who do game days all day. And so certain things are streamlined. Certain things are going to be more of a challenge. And I just wanted to go smooth. And hopefully that whatever is lined up, is agreeable to the fans, because ultimately that's what this is about now, because they're not inside and everybody hopefully is going to be watching to see not just the bells and whistles, but hopefully the product itself is, is what we're used to. And I think the rust has been knocked off for a lot of these teams. I don't know about you, but I thought some of these games were fantastic. They had bite. They had some intensity. And I'm telling you, like watching Vegas and Arizona yesterday, Ryan Reeves was just a bull in a china shop, and you could hear him running his mouth as he headed down the hallway in between periods and calling guys out. Like, it was on. And everybody that we spoke to, a man, this isn't an exhibition. This is a massive test to get us ready for when it's real. And they had to look at it that way. There was not a lot of time to just kind of experiment.
So how many people in the rink, like, once a game starts? There's select media, there's like, but there's very few people actually in there.
Yeah, for sure. Like, in studio, I'm used to having a number of people around me. As I say, they're so valuable. Those folks are what make it run, and we're just the talking heads, and everybody there, you know, on the technical side is so important. And we're just, you know, they've been set up. There's still technical people indoors, just a fraction of what we're used to, and certainly not a lot of the people that we see on a daily basis in Calgary. So you'll see some of the odd photographer and the odd media member, but it's pretty quiet. I don't have a head count for you, but it is drastically reduced.
Be more prepared next time, would you?
Yeah, I'll go around. You can't go anywhere to get a head count. I mean, I'm only allowed in certain areas, but to the NHL's credit, that's what has to be done. And honestly, Pat, I say this with all sincerity, I enjoyed your rant. I don't know if that was prepared or it was just you hitting the rage button, but I loved what you said. I thought it was clear cut on the baseball side of things, and hopefully the NHL doesn't tick you off like that again, because
you don't want to
out of your control, and they've just tried to manage it as best they can. And as you say, commitment has been essential. The buy-in has been imperative. Like, I will not see any members of the Calgary Flames bubble whatsoever, because they are locked down. And if you're going to make it go, this is what has to happen.
Yep, 100% with Ryan Leslie, who is back in Calgary now, was in Edmonton yesterday, and going back to Edmonton tomorrow, which is the Western hub city in the NHL's restart. Before we talk a little Flames, you talked about Ryan Reeves and that Golden Knights Coyotes game. What jumped out at you? Anything specific from the Vegas Golden Knights, the Arizona Coyotes, Nashville Predators, and Dallas Stars? Those are the teams that you saw live yesterday.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised Tyler Seguin didn't play. You never know what the deal or the decision is with that. The Stars looked a little flat, but they're a dangerous team in my mind. They got a lot of weapons. Nashville, I wonder about, you know, when it gets going for real, how Arizona, I wonder if Arizona can maybe make some noise there with them. We'll see. Vegas is just a tank. You know, they're just rolling. They look like a team ever since they've been around. They just enjoy one another. They're a cohesive unit. They've got the right pieces. They've got good coaching. They've got goaltending. They've got so many weapons, absolutely weapons, every up and down the lineup. So Arizona, we'll see. That wasn't a great test for them. They kind of struggled out of the gate there, and they're up against a tough Vegas team. But that's perfect for them to get that going early and a little wake-up call. That's what I think some of those teams are. Much like maybe even like Calgary, they had to be happy with their game against Edmonton. Didn't get the result they wanted, but they played a game that I think that they could be, for the most part, fairly happy with. Mm-hmm. So those were tune-ups. But those four teams that I had eyes on yesterday were, I would say, Vegas looked as probably the most dominant of the four, and I think the other ones were kind of finding their groove, so to speak.
The team that you covered all regular season long was the Calgary Flames, and they've got their series against Winnipeg starting tomorrow. Jeff Ward today said he's made his goaltending decision, hasn't informed his goalies, and won't inform us until after he does that. So what's your read, not necessarily as to who starts on Saturday, just overall the read on this goaltending situation heading into the first game tomorrow?
Well, you know, I'm sure you guys have been batting around for quite a while. I think everybody has when it comes to this topic and Flames circles. And I did hear that Jeff Ward said he's made a decision, but hasn't tipped his hand yet. I don't know, man. Like, you could argue both at this point, couldn't you? Sample size that we saw of David Rittich, he'd probably like those 33 seconds back, but he's the goalie seemingly right now and of the future. But Cam Talbot played so well down the stretch, and then you throw all that momentum out the window. So I'm going to say it's Cam Talbot. But again, even if I said it was David Rittich, I wonder about that leash and how long it is. So
right.
I think, not to go down the middle and not make a hard call, but I don't know if there is a hard call here. They may have a starter. Is that who the finisher is going to be? I don't know. And they had better prove to themselves, their teammates, their coaches, and to the organization and the fan base that that they're ready to go, because Connor Hellebuyck looked ready to go at the other end. And the Jets defense looked okay as well. And their big boys are going to be ready. So I think Calgary, whomever it is, I think knowing this group the way I do, they're going to play well in front of whomever. And that could go the same for any position. Just give us the best effort, and give us the best chance. Who that is or will be remains to be seen, but I think they go with Talbot. I want to see how long that lasts. And honestly, I changed my mind over the last few days on that. I initially thought David Rittich to start. He's the goalie of the future. I had to watch Mike Smith before, but I wonder now if he is completely ready. The camp was okay for him. It wasn't mind-blowing, but I think Cam Talbot may be the guy to start. We shall see.
Okay. What have you made of, because, you know, I know that you have, you've gotten to know Matthew Tkachuk pretty well, and he has gradually, not even gradually, rapidly turned into not only one of the best players on this team on the ice, but also one of the most important players off the ice, and for us in the media, one of the best quotes that you're going to find inside that locker room. This guy very clearly does not like losing. This guy hates it when the team isn't doing what he believes they're supposed to be doing. What have you made of Tkachuk and the amount of times he's talked about how much he's sick of losing in the postseason?
Yeah, I spoke to him the other night for a little while about that topic, and he feels that they're playing with a chip on his shoulder. He feels that 4 years so far in his career, if you can imagine, at 22 now, 4 years has flown by, and there's a perception out there that he is or going to be a playoff performer. Well, he's told me that, look, I haven't done anything in the playoffs yet, and that doesn't sit well with me. It's one thing to give those answers, and that's great, because they all mean them. From Sean Monahan saying he's embarrassed, to Matthew Tkachuk saying how ticked off he is. They mean that. That's legit. That's not lip service. But he is being incredibly hard on himself, because he wonders how long this group can stay together. It's a good core. It's a good nucleus. There may be some changes, as there always are, but he doesn't want to see this thing, you know, become a situation where nobody has playoff success, so the real hard decisions have to be made. There's some players over there. He believes them. They believe in themselves as a group, but he's ticked off, and that's legit, and he wants to prove to himself first and foremost, and his teammates second, that he is a playoff performer, because he has not been, hasn't had a lot of opportunity. And look at where we are, 4 years into his career already. He's still young. He's still got a bright future. But the time is now. And I think if you look at anybody from his draft class, they would echo the same thing, especially those high picks. You know, you can look around at Austin Matthews, Patrick Laine. There's some talent everywhere. Some have taken a little bit longer to even get to the NHL. But now the great thing, and I think it's a great thing anyhow, where these young players have an expectation in this wonderful generation of instant automatic results. They want success now. And in this case, that's a good thing. And I think you're going to see a driven Matthew Tkachuk try to prove something to himself and his teammates that he is a playoff performer. Because right now, you know, in his mind, what's he done to deserve that label? So we'll see what happens. But the talk is real. They believe in themselves. If people are painting them as the underdog, so be it. They don't see themselves as that, but they'll embrace it. And for a group that has seen so much adversity, and we've talked up and down all season long about adversity,
yep,
nothing's phasing them right now. And I think we said this a little while ago. It doesn't matter if it's a shift, a period, a game, down in the series, whatever it is. These guys, at least mentally, will not be phased by that. We'll see if it translates to what they do on the ice and the results they hope to fine. But right now, ahead of Saturday, they're in a good place. They watched as a group. About half of them, I think you were on that call.
Yep.
A good chunk of them stayed and watched Winnipeg, and they've been glued to it. So we'll see what it all translates to Saturday. And honestly, can anybody wait? Like, this is as good as we're going to get, given everything. And it's so great that we're at this point. So bring it on. Winnipeg's a tough customer. I want to see how this series unfolds.
No doubt. 100% on that one. Final thought for you. Give me one other series that you are fired up to watch once everything starts tomorrow. What other series has you dialed right in?
I'm curious to see what Philadelphia can become. Are they pretenders? Are they contenders? They've had some tough years. They've had tough decades on the goaltending position. Are they for real? They got pieces. I want to see what they do. But and I also am kind of curious about what Chicago is. I know they got holes in their lineup, but is Kirby Dach somebody who's going to take another step? Is he for real? I want to watch that. And, you know, I'm kind of looking at series, yes, but I'm also looking at performers and who does what. And I want to see who takes some steps individually. That's really intriguing to me. But the Calgary Flames will have certainly the focus. And that's a series, that an all-Canadian matchup that I think everybody's glued to. I did a podcast in Ottawa today, and, you know, they were obviously with the ties, Brady Tkachuk and Matthew, they're kind of keeping an eye on the Calgary series as they wait for their team to get into the postseason. But this storyline's aplenty, and I just want to see, you know, who steps to the forefront. Is Johnny Gaudreau ready? Is Sean Monahan sick and tired enough of saying he's sick and tired? So I want to see what goaltending addition we get. I want to see if Rasmus Anderson is ready to make that step and become big time. I think he is. I know how much he and Noah Hanifin truly love playing with one another. So I want to see if Dylan Dubé is ready to take a step. I'm looking at all those things, and I just can't wait to get going.
Good stuff, my man. Be safe getting back to Edmonton tomorrow, and bring a phone charger with you, would you?
I have one, but it's just not working. So
sounds about.
I mean, I don't know. It's embarrassing. National Hockey League, and I can't even have my phone working.
Bye, Ryan.
Sorry. Thanks for having me. Toodles.